Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and if you have a Bible question or a life issue you'd like to discuss, well, we have an open line for you right now at 844-322-2742. That number's good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Let's talk about it right now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Richard Piper.
Thanks, Bob. Well, we're in a brand new month and a brand new topic.
Yes.
This month, we're going to be focusing on the idea of presence. What does it mean for us to have the presence of God in us? And I'll start today with kind of an overview, setting some background and some history so that what else we talk about as the month progresses will make more sense. Mm-hmm. We're going to start in John chapter 7 in verse 37. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And you read that and you say, why is Richard starting there? Well, because it says on the last day of the feast. Now, isn't that helpful? What feast are we talking about? Well, this was the Feast of Tabernacles or of Booths. And this was a feast that went for 7 days. It was a party. It was one of the most joyous feasts in the Jewish calendar. Mm-hmm. Well, when did it take place? It started on the 15th day of the 7th month. Do you remember what other really important feast started in the 7th month? It lasted one day. It was the 10th day of the 7th month. It was the Day of Atonement. Mm-hmm. So you went from this focus on, oh, my sakes, how have we failed God for the last year, and thank him that he has taken sins away from our temple, representing all of our sins that were placed on him and removed. And then 5 days later, we start this celebration.
Yeah.
And this feast represented all of the time that they spent in the wilderness when their shoes didn't wear out, their clothes didn't wear out. They lived in tents. God cared for them every step of the way. Mm-hmm. Now, a whole generation of them died. The reason they died is because they were in gross unbelief. God took them all the way to the promised land, and they said, nah, the people there are too big. We can't do it. We're leaving. I wish we'd stayed in Egypt. Yeah. You know, that was the common thread. You brought us out here to die. Well, they got to the promised land because God took them there. He promised, he fulfilled his promise, and they were there, and they celebrated this feast. And on the last day of the feast, this is fascinating. I looked this up, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. I'd never seen it before. On the last day of the feast, the priest who was officiating that day would walk around the temple or the altar of burnt offering, mm-hmm, 7 times. What else did the children of Israel walk around 7 times?
Oh, Jericho.
Yeah. On the 6th time, another priest would join him. The priest who was walking around carried water. Now, water in the wilderness was life itself. Mm-hmm. Okay? And the water was given to them many, many times. And there were 2 notable ones, one a blessing and one Moses blew it because he said, must I bring water from this rock? But anyway, they've got this water, and after the 6th trip around, another priest brings new wine because this was also a celebration of the fall harvest. Remember, the Feast of Weeks and Pentecost was the spring harvest. The fall harvest was the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles. The second priest would come with a big container of wine. And when they got around the 7th time, both priests would hold up their containers and they would pour water and wine on the altar.
Hmm.
Fast forward a few thousand years. What major event had water mixed with wine? The crucifixion of Jesus. When he died and the centurion stabbed him with the spear, we got water and wine mixed.
Hmm. Interesting.
Interesting. This is powerful, powerful stuff. Well, how powerful is it? In verse 39 of chapter 7, John explains this living water, this rivers of living water. He said, "Now this Jesus said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." So all through the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the Mosaic Covenant, many, many, many times the Spirit came upon people to be used for a special work. Every prophet, every priest, individual people who never had a title had the Spirit come on them from time to time, and then it was gone.
Yeah.
Something was going to change, and Jesus says this. I mean, Jesus is proclaiming something here that is going to rock the entire world. "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." I don't have that in myself. John tells us that this was going to represent the Holy Spirit. I can't wait. Yeah. Something's going to change. Mm-hmm. Well, it says the Holy Spirit hadn't been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. What do you mean he hadn't been glorified? Well, if you go over to John 17, we've referred to this passage many,
sure,
many times.
Absolutely.
Jesus' prayer. For my own bias, I don't know for the life of me why we don't call this the Lord's Prayer.
Absolutely, yeah.
"Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed." Notice he's speaking eternally here. Mm-hmm. He's already declared his work to be finished, and he hasn't died yet. But it's done. The choice has been made. The die has been cast, and he is moving into the crucifixion. So you take the crucifixion and the burial and the resurrection, and what do you get? The gospel.
Absolutely.
And what is that if not the glorification of Jesus? How do we know that he was glorified? Well, a couple of ways. After the resurrection, he told certain people, "Don't hold on to me. I haven't been back to the Father." Mm-hmm. So there was an acknowledgement that had to happen. Well, how do we know that acknowledgement happened? Because 40 days later, he was taken up to heaven.
Right.
He ascended to the Father to sit at the right hand of the throne of majesty. And then 10 days later, we got the streams of living water.
Right.
This is amazing. Truly, truly amazing. And it's all ours. We're going to be talking about this for the rest of the month. Hold on to your hats.
Maybe the rest of all eternity.
Indeed.
Thank you, Richard. Great stuff. As we get this edition of Basic Gospel underway, everybody, we have an open line for you. We want you to be a part of the live broadcast. And if you're hearing this broadcast at about 8 minutes past 3 p.m. Central Time, you are hearing the live broadcast. And you can call right now and speak directly with us at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Well, it's June, friends, the final month of our fiscal year, and the time when we at Basic Gospel express our deepest gratitude to those of you who have stood by us faithfully through the previous year with your prayers and your financial support. It's also the time when we take stock of where we are in regard to meeting our budgeted needs for ministry operation and to pay for the airtime that brings this program to you each day. It truly is a time, kind of a time of reckoning. At last report, Richard, of course, we needed about $200,000 to end the year. I don't have an absolute updated figure on that, but that's close. But to help with that, we have received a wonderful matching gift offer of $35,000, which, if matched, will reduce the additional need to only about $130,000. And if history is any indication, that's a totally doable thing over the next 26 days. So with that in mind, friends, we ask you to prayerfully consider what God would have you do to help Basic Gospel in these final days of the fiscal year to keep the good news coming on the air and online, so please make your gift today and double its impact because of the matching gift offer. Click donate at basicgospel.net, and when you do, when you make your gift this month, we're going to send you our brand-new resource called Presence, Rest for the Soul, Power for the Journey. Again, you can donate now or anytime at basicgospel.net. All right, let's move to our first call. Let's do this. This came in off hours.
I'm a Christian woman that's single, and I have been waiting and waiting for over 4 years for God to give me a husband. I have been faithful and obedient and prayed up. I am studying the Word of God, and I am paying tithes, and I am just doing the things that God would have me to do as a Christian woman. And I am waiting patiently as God waits and acts patiently with us. Am I wrong to think maybe God doesn't want me to have a husband? Or is it that God's time is his own time and I should continue to be patient and obedient to the word and just wait for that godly husband? That's my question.
Okay, Richard.
Let me give you the simple answer first. Be patient. Okay? Now, there's more to it than that.
Yeah.
And you gave me all kinds of clues in your question. First of all, you describe yourself as faithful, obedient, prayed up, and a tither. And there's a distinct impression given in the way you say that is that, doggone it, God owes me now.
Yeah.
God doesn't owe you anything. He doesn't owe me anything. He owes none of us anything. What he has done instead is to give us everything we need for life and godliness. And when you look into what are the kinds of things we've been given for life and godliness, you find out that husbands and wives aren't one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do with spiritual reality, has to do with what happens when our minds are renewed with the truth of Jesus Christ, what he has done for us, what he is doing for us now, what it means to have the Holy Spirit living inside. There is no actual physical activity that you and I can do that demonstrates our worthiness to God. We are worthy because he has defined us, declared us to be worthy, not because we behave in a certain way. So what I would suggest, and please take this as gently as I mean it, stop trying so hard. Stop tithing. There's something that'll cause some people to quake in their
yeah,
boots.
That's right.
If you want to give 10%, by all means give 10%.
Certainly.
Because we're free to give as much as we can possibly give. If you can only afford a dollar a month, give it joyously. If you describe yourself as faithful, then be thankful that he has found you worthy of receiving his Holy Spirit. He is the one who declared you to be that, so your faithfulness is expressed by thankfulness and praise and relying on him, resting in him. Okay? We're only obedient insofar as we walk by grace through faith. There is no such thing as obedience apart from that. In fact, the very worst sin a person can commit is behaving well in your own strength. Because what you're doing is lying to yourself and lying to God. That is a sin because it's not done by faith. And praying up is not a question of asking God for anything. It's just this ongoing conversation you get to have with him every day as he gets to know you better. Well, he knows you perfectly, but he explains how much he knows you.
Right.
And then you get to know him better.
Mm-hmm.
All of the life that we're asked to live has been defined for us, created for us in advance, for us to discover. That's Ephesians 2:10. We're saved by grace through faith. We're created in him for good works, which he prepared in advance for us. We get to discover that. We get to praise him for it. And then if a husband should come along,
mm-hmm.
praise Jesus. Get to know the man. Find out if you're equally yoked in terms of your belief systems. Take him and take yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, what would you have us do? And if God makes it clear that this is a relationship worth going to marriage with, then get married. Mm-hmm. But don't get married because you think he's, you know, just, well, here's the guy God sent to me. And if nobody shows up in the next 4 or 5 or 10 or 15 years, don't imagine that God has decided that you should be not married. That's not how God works. I mean, there are more than one man or woman for each of us, yeah, that we would be compatible with. You're married to just one. But who knows who else was out there? If you'd lived in a different country, who would you have married? I mean, this isn't God manipulating things. God loves you too much to let you get wrapped up in who's the perfect person to marry.
Yeah.
Put your eyes on Jesus. Take them off of yourself and your condition, your situation. Praise him for what he has done. Live your life by grace through faith and just continue moving through it, serving people as God puts them in your path. That's the best way forward.
Good answer, Richard. Thank you. And I hope that this lady is listening and that this is a help to you. And we had another call that came in overnight. First, I want to give the phone number again because we do have an open line for you at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742.
Yes, as a new Christian and as a person that works in food service, first time in my life, I've actually started showing all my tips on my paycheck so that I can pay taxes. My question is, do I owe for all those years that I did not pay taxes? I don't even know how much I owe, but I need to know if this is something that needs to be taken care of. Thank you very much. Bye.
I can't answer the specifics of that question. I'm not qualified. I'm neither a legal expert nor an accounting expert. So if you've got specific questions about how to declare tips and what to do about back tips and all of that, talk to a tax planner. If you know someone who has done auditing, call them. There are companies around the country that help people who have tax problems before they become problems, mm-hmm, before the IRS knocks on your door and starts attaching your wages, for example. Contact them. Explain the situation to them. Now, to the general issue, I praise you. I thank you for the demonstration that God has actually reached into your life and changed you. You're reporting things now that you didn't used to report. Mm-hmm. You're being honest. That is one of the results of the Spirit renewing you from the inside out. At least I hope it is. If you're only doing it because some religious person told you, well, now you'd better declare this stuff or God's going to get you.
Yeah.
No. It's good to be honest and to declare the wages you've declared. We live in this country. We are honor-bound to support it. But don't confuse the spiritual issue of things like honesty and being above board with the specific legal issues. Mm-hmm. Deal with the legal issues with people who know how to deal with it.
Right.
And in the meantime, what I suggested to our last call, rejoice that God has found you and renewed you and is changing the way you think and the way you choose to be an entirely honorable person.
Yeah.
And that is worth praising. And I congratulate you. I welcome you as a sister in Christ because you said you're a new Christian.
Right.
In fact, if you would like to call us back or write us back and give us your address, we'd be thrilled to send you what we've called in the past a new believer's packet.
Right.
There are some resources we'd love to put in your hands to help you on this journey. And it's just an awesome thing.
Absolutely. We hope this has been a help to you. I hope you're listening. And whether or not you hear the live broadcast, you can call 844-322-2742 anytime, 24 hours a day. That's the listener line. And pose your question as these two callers have. We'd love to hear from you at Basic Gospel. You know, those of you who hear this good news every day, we ask you to help us move this message forward. Not because, it's not everybody that gets to hear this message every day like our listeners do. So we ask you to help. So, Richard, what are your thoughts as we anticipate the end of the fiscal year? Where are we, as well as you know, on our need?
Well, I think we only need $199,995.
That was close to what I said earlier.
Yeah. No, we're so thrilled that people are so generous, and we state the need, you know what the need is. We'll just leave it in your hands and God's hands to deal with it. But this is important stuff. I mean, these last two calls, these are real life issues that people face.
Indeed.
And many of the people who call us have been put upon by religious systems, whether of their own making or someone else's, that cause guilt and shame and all the rest of it. And there's no guilt and no shame in Jesus Christ. There is only truth and the indwelling presence of God himself in the form of the Holy Spirit. So people need to hear this. They really do. And I think you folks know that. And I know there are people you will never meet who will be eternally grateful. And you'll never know until whenever. And this is all done. And somebody walks up to you and says, thanks.
Yes.
It happens.
That's it. Yes, indeed. Thank you, Richard, for that. And friends, when you make your gift, we're going to send you a copy of our new resource, Presence, Rest for the Soul, Power for the Journey. It's a powerful message. So please make your gift today at basicgospel.net, a prominent donate link right there on the homepage, again, at basicgospel.net. Well, Richard, we have this call from Connie, actually an email from Connie. Genesis 1:6 says, "Then God said, let there be a space between the waters to separate the waters of the heavens from the waters of the earth." What are the waters of the heavens?
The waters of the heavens, you can see every day when you look up if it's a cloudy day. It's literally the moisture in our atmosphere. Mm-hmm. What this is talking about is that God separated things so that there could be, you know, land and water as a living habitat for animals and humans and fish and birds, mm-hmm. and all of that.
Right.
And he created us and all of the mammals and other animals on the earth to breathe. Now, the fish breathe water, the air out of the water, but the rest of us on land have to breathe air, this oxygen-nitrogen mix that mm-hmm. makes up our universe or our atmosphere.
Yeah.
And so he separated the two. And there are times when the two meet, and we call that rain.
Mm-hmm, right.
there gets to be too much moisture in the atmosphere. It can't be held in that suspension anymore, and so it rains.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes back and replenishes the earth, and the grass grows, and the plants and food. And it starts to evaporate then. And we have this cycle. And that's all that the Bible is talking about there, is that God separated the earth from the water in the air, in the atmosphere, mm-hmm. so that all of us could live.
Yeah, okay, very good. Hope that's a help to you, Connie. And I think we can squeeze this question from Samuel in. It concerns 2 Peter 1, verse 9. "But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins." How do we address the language used in this verse, cleansed from their past sins?
Well, every sin you've ever committed is now in the past. If you sinned right now, it's in the past. And that's, you have to remember that everything you've ever done that was bad mm-hmm. has been forgiven. You also need to remember that everything you've ever done was in the future when Jesus died for it.
Yeah.
So we've got this eternity thing going, and it's important to keep it straight. So everything you ever do is immediately in the past, because all we can do is live along a linear timeline.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus died eternally, so that everything that he died for was future, and I'm in that future, so therefore I am a forgiven person, and so are you.
And so are you. Samuel, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. Friends, want to remind you that we stream live video every day on our Facebook and YouTube presences, and we would love for you to be a part of that growing number. Lots of people are joining us that way, and we hope you'll take advantage of that opportunity as well. Remember, too, that our listener line is always open for you. Got a question? Leave us a voicemail. The number 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. Or you can email your question to bob@basicgospel.net. bob@basicgospel.net. Friends, keep in mind, too, that Basic Gospel needs your prayers and your support to keep the good news of our Lord Jesus on the air and online. And your gift today will count double because of this excellent matching gift of $35,000. Every dollar you give this month will be matched, doubled. So please help with your gift today. Donate today or anytime at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all this ministry team, Bob Davis here inviting you to be with us again tomorrow as Andrew Farley joins us for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.